Christ loved us and gave himself for us as we're a flagrant offering and sacrifice to God. You know, walk in the way of love. He said, what a different way in walking with the wicked and step with the wicked. You know, the Bible teaches us walk in the way of love. Compassion, caring, concern, agape love, you know, given out freely. Nothing expected in return. Just giving it out. Go around, pass on. When I got older, when I was younger from being, you know, but I was still getting older, I decided, you know, I'd just give out compliments as I felt them. So I was in going to a veterans hospital down in Columbia, South Carolina. And a lady, it was fall time, and she walked out, and she had on a very nice outfit. And I said, ma'am, I think you really look nice today. I like that outfit. And walked on. There was a guy standing in front of the hospital, and he said, hey, she's back there waiting. I said, what? I turned around, and she was standing there, and I said, I guess she was expecting something else, but I've just given her a compliment and going about my business, you know, and stuff, you know. Sometimes you just gotta go with the flow and, you know, say, hey, I'll give out and I'll share with somebody just out of the love in your heart for individuals and their lives and meaning in life. How about standing? Jeremiah 6:16 says, this is what the Lord says. Stand at the crossroads and look. Ask for the ancient paths. Ask where the good way is and walk in it. And you will find rest from your souls. But you said, we will not walk in it. Isn't that sad that God's people at that time said, we aren't going to do that. We're not going to stand at the crossroads and we're not going to look. We're not going to be involved. God encourages us sometimes, you know, hey, why don't you stand? Just sort of look. Pay attention to what's around you. Sort of absorb that's around you. I know when we moved to different places in our lives and stuff, moved down to Chesterfield, South Carolina, which we stayed a few years down there. And I asked somebody about the billboard on the way to town. And they said, well, what do you mean, billboard? And I said, well, it's close to the drive-in down there. What billboard are you talking about? And I said, there's no billboard down there. I go by there every day on the way to work, and there's no billboard. And I said, okay, maybe I'm mistaken, but I was sure there was a billboard down there. And stuff. They came back to me later and said, you know, there is a billboard there. And I pass it all the time. But I just got so familiar around me, you know, stuff. I forgot that it was there. I thought, yeah, don't we do that? We can do the same thing with the Lord, can't we? We can just sort of forget that, you know, we're one of his children. And we want to do and say, we love you and care about you. And you mean something to us, Lord. Help us to be able to see. Help us to be able to acknowledge those small things around us that could be important in our lives. Make a wonderful difference. Make a fantastic difference in our lives. Galatians tells us to be in step. Since we live by the Spirit, let's keep in step with the Spirit. The word way is used as a journey or a path. Wicked, like I said, 469 times. Sinners, 444 times. Mockers, 10 times used in the Bible. Proverbs 1:22 says about mockers, how long will you who are simple love your simple ways? How long will mockers delight in mockery and fools hate knowledge? Proverbs 9:7-8 says, whoever corrects a mocker invites in insults, whoever rebukes the wicked and cures abuse. Do not rebuke the mockers, or they will hate you. Rebuke the wise, and they will love you. Sometimes it's just been having enough sense to say, hey, I don't got it all. You know, I don't have anything. I kid some people sometimes and say the good thing about ignorance is there's no limitations to it. You know, you can't spell a word or pronounce it anything. Somebody's written a book on it. Probably has a doctor's dissertation on it. You know, I noticed when I went to college and stuff, they had a degree in golf. And there was a guy there that had a doctorate degree in golf. I thought, what? Well, he was in the physical education department. That's part of physical education. So he had it there, you know. But, you know, what are we needing to listen to and need to be aware to that we can be better in our walk for the Lord? Second verse. But those who delight in the law of the Lord and who meditate on his law day and night. This word law is the word Torah, which means instruction. We're not talking about the legalistic thing. We're not talking about the, you know, the, like the law book that you would up and read. I had a state trooper friend, and somebody would ask him a question about the law, and well, doesn't the law say this? And he says, well, I just don't know. Let me look and see. And he'd reach in his back of his car, and he'd pull out the law book, and he'd flip it open and says, this is what it says. That's not what we're talking about with God. We're talking about God's instructions, you know, like his commands, like his ordinances and things that we would do. It says, so this is what this person is going to delight in. The law, the instruction of the Lord, and in those he meditates day and night. And this is, it becomes a very fluid and active thing in life. Psalms 19, 7 and 9 says, the law of the Lord is perfect, refreshing the soul. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. The precepts of the law are right, giving joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The decrees of the Lord are firm, and all of them are righteous. You know, this delighting in the law day and night. When you're looking at its instructions, you know, hey, don't you want to read instructions? Oh, no, we don't read instructions, do we? We throw them away and stuff. No, we need to read God's instructions. Say, what do I need to be doing, Lord? What do I need to be active in? What does it mean to me? This constant openness to God's teaching is what he's talking about. To be open to him at any time, to be able to learn something and things. You know, I have a sort of curious mind, and so I decided years ago that I had the opportunity to go see people in the hospital. Now, that sounds a whole lot better than I had to, right? You know, I had the opportunity to go. We happened to live in an area where people went to hospitals differently. One week I had like five or six, and sometimes six or seven people in the hospital, and they would go every way. Now, I guess one of the better hospitals they went to was in Charlotte, but they'd also go to Columbia. They'd also go to Florence. If they had really something serious, they'd go to University of Charleston in Charleston, South Carolina. And I lived there for 20 years, and it still took me 3 hours to get to Charleston. You know, took me the same length of time. I couldn't shorten it anyway. You know, had a little local hospital about 10, 15 miles away in Chiral. They'd sometimes go to Pinehurst if they had something in, you know, in that particular area. And, you know, a couple other places, little towns had hospitals that people would go to. So sometimes I could just, you know, my wife would say, which way are you going this way today? I said, well, I'm going to start out that way. Now, how I'll end up, I don't know. I could spend all day long traveling, you know, and spend a few moments with somebody in the hospital. see how they were doing and do it again. And so the next day I could go another direction and stuff. You know, people would go and stuff. But, you know, like I say, I'm sort of curious and things. And so I carried with me a tape measure, you know. And one day I was riding along. I said, I wonder how high a curb is. You know, how high is that little area that they keep up? Well, I got out and measured it. 9 inches. Generally speaking, 9 inches. You find some a little less, a little more, but 9 inches would be it. You know, sometimes we just sort of be curious about that. I don't know that that's ever done me any good in life, but it's something I just sort of curious about and want to know. But I have pursued some things out of curiosity that have helped me and helped people around me just by asking questions and things like that. When I went in the hospital, I always would ask questions. I find a nurse. Nurses are good. You know, I think a lot of nurses. They're fantastic. I'd always ask a question. If I went in a room, something I hadn't been familiar with, I said, what's that for? What's this do? And they knew generally, if they had time, would answer. Other times they say, I'm busy right now. And I'm fine, you know, type of thing. The nurses always, you know, just great. I guess the only funny one I had about nurses one time, I went to see a fellow in intensive care. I walked into the room and he was asleep. And so I went to the nurse's station and asked, I said, well, how's so-and-so doing today? And the four nurses that were there all turned around and looked at me at the same time. And I said, I don't know where you ladies are, but I'm not there. See you later. Walked out. A couple days later, I went back, and one of them said, where'd you go the other day? I said, what do you mean, where did I go the other day? Said, well, we turned around and looked at you, and you said, you weren't where we were or something, you know, going on, and then you just left. We looked for you. You just disappeared. And I said, well, I don't know what was going on, ladies, but the look y'all gave me was not a good look. And I figured the best thing for me to do is just, I just wanted basic information, just to get out of there. And so I just left. She said, yeah, we had been chewed out four times in a row. And we figured we were going to get our fifth one when you said that. I said, I told you, y'all weren't where I was. So I just left. You know, sometimes you just need to get out of a situation, go someplace else, you know, do something else and things. But, you know, God can, like I say, with our curiosity and our concerns and our being able to look and share with people, can lead us many places. Verse 3, he says, that person is like a tree planted by the streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither, whatever they do, prospers. You sort of have to picture here a dry land. I don't know if you've ever been in a desert or not, but the deserts are sort of dry, lonely type of places and stuff, you know. Nothing much moves or anything like that. It's just hot, dry. And Israel was a dry desert type land. And so be a tree planted by a river would be a fantastic thing. You know? Of course, now, right now, you could probably say, well, we can plant a tree any place. It's river enough and stuff. We've had enough rain. Seems like a river. But, you know, this too will go away. We're pretty sure eventually sometime we'll wish we're having rain. And stuff. But it says, this tree is planted by a river of water, streams of water, and it yields its fruit in season. The leaf doesn't wither. Whatever they do, it prospers. I think about the leaf withering. Sometimes, you know, things without water, they just sort of wither. My next door neighbor has a driveway, and right now it's full of grass. You know, all kinds of grass and stuff. Probably just weeds, but, you know, somebody said they're green. You know, don't be particular about it. But, you know, in the summertime, I've noticed when it gets hot and dry, that dies out. It can't take that heat. I know there's gravel under there. There's not a real good amount of gravel on it right now, but the base of it is just gravel. It's pretty hard for anything to get any roots there. And so right now they got those shallow roots and stuff. And when the heat comes, they just dry up. They're gone. And so he's sitting, comparing this and saying, you're like a tree planted by a river. And you're getting your roots down very, very, very good. I say some things struggle for root. I've seen, trees grow out of rocks, and you have too. If you don't, on the way to Bluefield, we used to look at one on a cliff, and I'd always talk to my wife about, how in the world does that tree survive on that cliff? Just, has to search and seek. How's it making it? But he's talking about, here's the land, sticking down those roots, and then be able to just take as much water as you want, and plenty flowing by. Drink until you're fullest, and still can't consume it all. That's why I talk about God's blessings. You just don't have the capacity to hold them all. So the roots like that, they just sunk down in. They're alive, and all the things that normally happen, they do happen. It bears fruit. Leaves look okay. They're out there. Whatsoever they do prospers. It just makes it and stuff. He says that's what the righteous will be like. It'll be like that tree planted by the river water. Jeremiah 17:8 says, they'll be like a tree planted by the water that sends out its roots by the stream. It does not fear when heat comes. It leaves as all are always green. It has no worries in the year of a drought and never fails to bear fruit. The story here and the picture he wants us to see is that the root system is what's part that allows the tree to yield fruit, have leaves, and prosper and grow. So he says, hey, that's the way those who are righteous are. Verse 4 says, not so with the wicked. They're like chaff that the wind blows away. A little interesting side note that you probably won't catch, and most people wouldn't ever catch, is that the Hebrew word for tree and chaff are two-letter words. They both have the last letter as the same. It's only the first letter that's different. So he put another little play on words he has here. The righteous will be like a tree, the wicked like chaff, that the wind blows away. Gone. I guess the most straw I've ever seen has been in Kansas. Had the opportunity to drive for Greyhound when I was in school. Go out in Kansas and sometimes the wind blowing. Well, there's going to be a wind in Kansas every day. I can't tell you which way to blow, how long it will blow or anything, but I can guarantee you one thing. The wind's going to blow in Kansas every day. Sometimes you go by and see, where straw was all over the place and blown up against things and stuff. I guess the biggest scare I ever had in my life was with wind. And so I was in, Greyhound sent me to West Texas to drive during Christmas holidays one year. It was out in West Texas, out beyond a little town called Kent, which consisted of a four-way and a building on each of those, and that was it. Nothing else. Going out, in deep part of West Texas and stuff. One night I was driving along, and the main road was so bumpy and bad that most of us drove on the shoulder. One lady told me one time, she said, I don't like you driving on the shoulder. And I said, okay. I understand, ma'am. I won't do that anymore. And I moved over, you know, going like this. And she said, driver, I see why you're driving on the shoulder. Would you move back on the shoulder? Yes, ma'am. Be happy to. You know, it didn't take her long to figure it out. One of those nights driving out through there, and the wind was blowing pretty hard. It was an area about 35 miles. You couldn't see a house light any place. There was just basically nothing. Had a charter one time, they wanted to walk to the mountain there. And I said, well, what you might not realize is that that mountain's 5 miles from where you're standing right now. They said, well, we don't want to. But I was in this part of West Texas, and I said the wind was blowing hard. And out of my peripheral vision, I caught a vision of something, big something, you know. And so I grabbed a hold of the steering wheel. That's what they taught you to do in driver school. Grab a hold of the steering wheel and thank the Lord that you're still alive and hope you're alive after it happens, whatever's going to happen, because you know something's going to happen. And about that time, a tumbleweed hit the front of my bus. And boy, it just poof, shattered. I mean, it disappeared as fast as it came. It was just nothing. I think sometimes when I think about the chaff and the wind just blowing something away, here's a big old weed going across the land out there and just tumbling along and stuff like that. But if anything with any force hits it, then poof, it's gone. He said, the chaff, the wind just blows away. It's just blown away. It's a waste product. The wicked are always in motion. Verse 5 says, therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteousness, because they don't have any roots. They don't have any roots. When you don't have any roots, you're going to just eventually die. You're going to go away on your own. Nothing has to really happen to you. Nobody has to really do anything. You just don't have anything that will keep you. So you're going to die. Stand is used in verse 1, but it's a different word than used in verse 5. Both meaning no foundation. Just standing there. And verse 6 says, for the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked leads to destruction. The wicked are cut off from God because they don't want to follow his instructions or his teachings. They have no foundation, so the wicked are destroyed. You might call it sort of self-destruction. God gives instructions. We're like the tree planted by the river. Sinks down to its roots, able to do what we do. May we pray together. Lord, as you lead us, help us to respond to you. Help us to stick down our roots solidly in your promises, in your teaching, in your ordinances, that our lives might be full. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.